Hey, Carm here. Hey, do you need a refreshed look at how your shop's profitability has grown? Well, we're going to talk cost per build hour and the effect it has on your net profits. In just a moment, you'll get a look at the concept and formula for this analysis from Bob Greenwood. Now here's a taste.
That the average shop is missing between $25,000 and $30,000 net profit per bay per year.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm Capriotto here. Now, to stay ahead of the curve in today's rapidly changing industry, I highly recommend you attend APEX. Oh, yeah. If you make your living in the aftermarket and attend SEMA, you owe it to yourself to attend APEX at the Sands Expo. Add it to your calendar, November 5th through the 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. For more information, visit AAPEXshow.com. Hey, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio, where we tell the stories of the business side of the aftermarket. And don't forget about my own listening app. It can be found on the apps page on my website, RemarkableResultsRadio.com. Hey, I'm with Bob Greenwood, President and CEO of the Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center, a company focused on providing business management resources and development for the independent sector of the aftermarket. An important note on this episode, since Bob is demonstrating his strategy and findings through formulas, we decided to record the video of this episode so you can see how Bob arrives at the conclusions to his formulas. You can find the video version of the podcast on the show notes page at RemarkableResultsRadio.com/E424 or on my Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. This episode tackles measuring your site's efficiency with cost per build hour as the new aftermarket measurement to maximize your net profits. The calculation reflects all aspects of your business, including your labor rate, workflow, charging for diag time, and other critical performance metrics. Spend some time to understand the numbers and find where you can improve. Don't forget to see the math and the formulas in action. You'll want to watch the companion video. Now, open your mind and learn something new today that will have a huge effect on your bottom line. Hey, a warm welcome to Bob Greenwood from the Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Carm. How are you doing?
I am great. You and I have had all kinds of talk about getting you on to be on the show to talk about a new aftermarket measurement, one that you say, Carm, it's required if you really want to move forward, and it's cost per build hour. And I'm so fascinated every time you and I get together and you help school me on this and drive the point of how important it is. So I said, you know what? Enough of this stuff, Bob. Let's do a podcast. Not only the audio version of this, but there's going to be a video one available on my YouTube channel because it's not easy to grab onto and the concepts of it. So we're gonna walk through some slides. You're gonna actually show us some math, right?
Yeah, math, I know, is not a favorite topic of a lot of people, but it's necessary today.
I get it. Well, the show is yours, man.
You know, cost per build hour is a new measurement in the new aftermarket. And as we move forward into our industry in the aftermarket over the next 2, 3, 4 years, this cost per build hour is going to play a critical measurement in terms of building net profit in the company. A cost per build hour revolves around the efficiency of the operation. And what I would like to share with you today is what this efficiency is all about so that we can get our head around it and then end off with, okay, our efficiency then dictates our cost per build hour. And how does that affect our net profit? So by the end of this podcast, I want to be able to have you in a position where you can calculate your cost per build hour. Then you'll be able to calculate your actual net profit on an RO before you close it off. And I'll end with that example. But it starts with efficiency. And I find in the industry, there's a lot of misunderstanding efficiency. And a lot of people are saying my techs are working at 120% efficiency. What they're really talking about is a proficiency measurement, which is the tech against the clock or the time allowed, and he beats it or she beats it. The efficiency calculation I'm talking about is the entire team in the operation working together, because you have some A techs, B techs, C techs. How does this all play out in the operation of my company? So my first slide here is my efficiency calculation. What data do I need for my business? So I'm going to walk you through a very simple example. First of all, how many days a year are we open? Our technicians work Monday to Friday, 5 days a week. Technicians work 44 hours a week. Our current maintenance business labor rate is $85 an hour. And our year-to-date labor sales, or for the year, were $381,977. And this shop has the equivalent of 3 licensed techs. Now, what I mean by equivalent is that when you're counting measurements in your business, a full licensed tech or master tech is a full one unit, whereas apprentice tech is a half a unit. So in my example here, I could have 2 licensed techs and 2 apprentices. Well, for measurement purposes, that equates to 3 technicians. So I'm not going to go through the text portion of it, because this is great for women in our industry. They can read text and it makes a lot of sense to them. That's why we want more women in the industry, because men get into this kind of stuff and by number 4 or 5, they're going, blah, blah, blah. Got to start back over. What was this all about? Women get that. So for men, we need a picture. So I design flow charts, and that's a picture. I can follow the picture. So taking that information and putting it into the flow chart, let's watch what it tells us. So we start at the top left-hand corner. How many hours a week? 5 days a week. That means I've got 8.8 hours a day times the number of days I'm open per year of 243. Means I've got 2,138.4 hours in my business to produce labor times the number of techs that I have. So over the course, I have 6,415 hours to produce labor per year. Divide that by 12 months in a year. That tells me I have 534.6 hours available in my shop per month to produce labor with my current team.
That's a grossed up number.
Yes. And then multiply that by my labor rate, which is $85. That gives me my potential in my business. So my potential is an interesting number that every shop owner should know about their business. If you don't know your potential and you're putting together a business plan, and your business plan says I have to produce 50,000 in labor to make my plan work, well, you know now it won't work. You can't do it no matter what you do. So the potential is a very important number to know in your business. From there, I go back to what did we actually bill out last year? 381,977 divided by 12. So our average, and that's a key word, our average labor per month is 31,831. And a lot of people focus on the month. And the month is a snapshot of time. So you want to know, always work with year-to-date data and know your average. So my actual average is that. You divide that by your potential, and it shows that your site efficiency is coming in at 70%. That number should be a minimum of 75, and the target is 80% is utopia. When you're well over 80%, 83, 85, 86, the math is telling you you're understaffed. You're too busy. You're pushing things through the shop too quickly. Consequently, you're going to be missing a lot of build hours. And build hours reflects your cost per build hour. So that's a nice number to know. But now if I take my actual labor produced and divide it by my available hours, I realize my labor rate is not $85 an hour. My real labor rate is $59.54 per hour. We call it the effective door rate. It's out of that number you pay your technicians. It's out of that number you pay benefits. Here's my point. The only way you can change this efficiency number is by increasing build hours. This number, obviously, your potential changes because there's a constant in your business. Days that you're open, your labor rate, and the number of techs that you have. If that doesn't change, your potential is always a constant.
Increasing my labor rate to cover that doesn't work.
No, because that changes your potential as soon as you increase your labor rate. So understanding efficiency of the site itself revolves around build hours. So I better know and understand my build hours in my own business. And that's why I bring up, what is my average build hours per RO? Because if I'm weak, that's going to affect my cost per build hour. Let me walk you through a simple example. Labor sold 31.8 divided by my door rate, $85. Total build hours is 374.49 divided by the number of ROs I wrote that month, we are averaging, there's that word again, averaging 1.7 build hours per RO. Now, if I am working just on basic consumer vehicles, that number should be 2.5. Do the math, 2.5 minus 1.7. Multiply it by your labor rate. Multiply it by the number of invoices. That's how much money you left on the table.
The door rate, Robert, if I had a variable rate, if I had three different rates, I had a diagnostic rate in there, what would I put in there for my door rate?
Well, you're doing each one. So, for example, this would be maintenance. On maintenance, we're averaging 1.7. Then I want to calculate my diagnostics. And maybe on my diagnostics, our target is to average 0.2 or 0.5. Then I can see where we're sitting. Here we're at now, a situation where I've got to understand my site efficiency number and where I'm sitting and my average build hours. If I increase my build hours per RO, I change my site efficiency, targeting towards 80%. That doesn't happen overnight. But what it does is allow you to reflect how we are handling a vehicle when they're coming into the shop. In other words, are we scheduling right? Do the technicians have the appropriate amount of time required to check the vehicle for safety, reliability, and efficiency? And are we having the time to talk with our client, building that relationship, and educating the client as to how things work now and why they must work this way in the client's favor? So a lot of people understand they'd like a silver bullet, but one doesn't exist. And we have to understand that our build hour is so important. Once I know my build hours, I can now calculate my actual cost per build hour and my net profit per build hour. So let me take you through a flow chart where we're tracking maintenance labor, heavy duty labor, diagnostic labor. So we have a flow chart where my maintenance labor build was this, and my average door rate for maintenance was $85. Therefore, we've built up $45.78 in build hours and maintenance last year. My diagnostics was $51,573. That diagnostic rate is $110 in this example. So therefore, we build out 468.8 hours. And we happen to do some heavy duty or mid duty work. That's $33,000. And my labor rate for that is $90 an hour. Therefore, we build out $367. Now, you simply total up the hours. We build out 5,415 hours amongst all our various rates. Going back, I now have to look at what is my total gross profit in my operation for the year. Now, this is where I would say 98% of all shops have to do a mathematical adjustment, because all accountants have a tendency to operate by cost accounting. Therefore, they put the technician wages in as a cost of labor. You want to take that out. In fact, even my example here, I would take out all these costs. All these costs, if they're sublet work, that's one thing. But if they're like freight or anything like that, take them all out and put them down as an operating expense, including the tech's wages. So that would obviously change my total gross profit and actually increase it.
Hey, Carm here. Now, you know I attend Apex in Las Vegas each year. It's my must-attend show for one simple reason. It keeps me up to date on everything in the global automotive aftermarket industry. At Apex, I see, touch, and compare the latest new tools and equipment in the industry. I learn how new technology is affecting independent repair shops. I sit in on advanced training sessions on underhood service and alternative fuel vehicles. And so important, I network with others facing the same opportunities and challenges. I know many of you are shop owners, managers, or technicians. I also know going to Apex means time away from your business. But I simply don't know how you can stay ahead of the huge transformation and changes taking place in the industry without attending Apex. Hey, make Apex your must-attend show. The dates are Tuesday, November 5th through Thursday, November 7th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. Registration, it's only $40, and it only takes a few minutes. Go to aapexshow.com. Hey, Carm here, stopping for just a second to remind you that you can view Bob's calculations on the companion video that's on the show notes page on my website or on my Carm Capriato YouTube channel. Bob, did you say that the vast majority of the shops in the U.S. put labor up in the margin number?
Yes. And the reason being is because they're taught that. And that's where you get down, my labor's at 60%, my labor's at 65%. That's involving the cost of the technician in there.
You're just moving it around. It's on the P&L, but you're moving it below the margin
exactly.
line.
So you're moving from a cost accounting format to a management accounting format. Management accounting is strictly an internal document. It's internal measurement. It doesn't go to the bank, doesn't go to the government, but it tells us so much more about what's happening in the business. And that's the key. I got to know what's going on here. So I take that gross profit and I divide it by my billed hours. That tells me I'm averaging $124.86 gross profit per billed hour. Now, I know a lot of people, they must know, what is your gross profit total on your RO? That's a key measurement as well. Absolutely. But for a billed hour concept, what's our average gross profit? So in this case, I take that gross profit and then I calculate my expenses per billed hour. And notice this includes all the tech wages, management wages, everything is in there. And I insert that number and divide it by the hours that we billed. That gives me my expense or cost per billed hour. Now, here's where your smoke and mirrors show comes into play. People will look at that number and say, okay, I'm low, I'm high, but I want you to adjust your own numbers. So you insert a professional management wage into your numbers to see what your true cost per billed hour will come out at. If you own the property, put in a market rent because you can make your numbers look as good as you want.
So if you're saying I own the building and I'm collecting $12,000 a month in rent, but
if is that what the market would bear?
But if the market would bear $8,000, you're telling me to put in $8,000.
The reason being is because someday you're going to sell this business and whoever buys your business is going to do their due diligence. I'm not going to invest or put in money to buy myself a job. I'm a business person. So I want to know, what are you really making?
Normalize the P&L, normalize this statement so that you can get some real honest numbers here.
So that brings us down. You do that simple math, and that works out that you have a net profit per billed hour of $3.18, which is ludicrous. What do you really want to net in your shop? Minimum 15% of gross sales. I target 20, but minimum 15. Well, obviously, if my cost per billed hour is too much, or I do not have the correct labor rates in place, I'm not going to see any net profit. I am going to buy myself a job for my career. And I don't think that's exactly what anybody had in mind. Let's assume my cost per billed hour is $150. Now, a lot of people have a tough time getting their head around that. Keep in mind, we are breaking every single expense that you have in your business into your billed hours. Where should your business be today? This math will change as we move forward because of the increased expenses that we are going to be seeing coming up, such as increased liability insurance, increased investment in training. We're dealing with increased investment in tools and equipment. So all these things are going to end up affecting our business. But today, in 2019, we should be in the range of around 140 to 160. Too many classes that I've done, too many shops are not efficient. They're operating at anywhere from 58 to 62% site efficiency, and their cost per billed hour is coming in any range, anywhere from 180 and up. I have seen some shops in the 210 range. They're not getting the billed hours that they required, and their labor rate is totally out of whack for their business.
So what you're really saying is people would come to your class, they would bring their P&Ls, you probably encourage them to do it. And then during the breaks or, you know, at the end, you roll up your sleeves, you pull all the numbers, you put them into your formula, and someone sits there going, oh my God, no wonder why I can't make any money.
In today's classes, we do 20 breakout sessions during the day. And yes, they're bringing in their P&L, they bring in their internal documents, all for personal use. It doesn't go anywhere in the class. But now they're studying their own business and their numbers make sense to them versus any numbers I put up here. But now they're applying the formulas and starting to see where I'm sitting. And you're right. by mid-afternoon, we need a box of Kleenex. As people are saying, oh no, look at how much money I've left on the table. And we prove in class that the average shop is missing between $25,000 and $30,000 net profit per bay per year. Average shop, five bays, do the math. That's out of current business coming through the door. And nobody wants to talk about this. I don't get it. We are missing so much of what's currently coming through. Do I really need more car count? I talk to my clients. Let's look after what we got coming first.
Do one thing first, and then let's really get that 15 to 20% net going. Maybe it's time now. The numbers are telling you need another tech. Oh, here comes another tech. Let's go after the top line.
So assume my cost per build hour is $150. Now I'm looking at an RO. And on my RO, we happen to sell $400 worth of parts in that RO.
That's a low margin on parts.
It is a low margin on parts. We cancel the 45%. But maybe $300 of this part was a very expensive part where I don't make a higher margin. So keeping that low, even if we adjust this number at the end, we'll still see. You bring it up 10%, won't make a difference. So we drive $140 gross profit there. Then I got my labor sold. I'm charging $125 an hour for my maintenance labor. And we build out 3.6 hours. That brought in $450 in gross profit. Add the two together, total gross profit on this RO is $590. I then take my cost per build hour and multiply by the number of hours we actually build out. 3.6 hours at $150 is $540. The difference is we're only going to net $50 on this job.
Bob, the 125 came from where?
That was just an example. That's all.
Just an example. But it would come from your formulas? It come from a P&L somewhere?
Or? Correct. Your labor rate today now has to be established off your cost per build hour. For the last 10 years, 15 years, we've been using a formula based on the hourly pay a technician is being paid. That's down the water now. Because now it's all about the efficiency of the operation. And as we move into a world of more diagnostics, as we move into a more complicated vehicle, more diagnostics is going to be involved. And we've got to make sure our productivity is in place, which controls our cost per build hour.
The parts margins may not be there equal our parts, so that you've got to have that labor rate covered.
We totally see the average margin in the shop dropping over the next 5 years. They're not going to get better. They're going to get tighter as more competition comes into play. Part sales and commodity sales and margins, you've got to be competitive on. But your labor rate reflects your competency. Now I've got to set labor rates based on my cost per build hour. And it becomes a percentage for maintenance, for diagnostics, for reflash. And now I've got to make sure if I'm out of control and not efficient in my shop, my labor rate's going to have to be too high. Otherwise, I will never make any money. My labor rate's too high. I'm not competitive. So management, and you've heard me say it before, has to learn to be the CEO. How do I run this business and put it into place to make sure everything connects? Because you see, I want to net a minimum of 15% of gross sales. Well, that means on this particular RO alone, I'm short $77.50. So the first thing my service advisor, because they understand this, we've taught them the cost per build hour and how to calculate this. A service advisor has to be able to visually see, are we going to make any money or not? And if we're not, he can see right here off the get-go, wait a minute, I got 3.6 hours at my maintenance rate. Hey, John, we're 3.6 hours. Did we spend any time in diagnostics? We haven't got it here. How much time did you spend on diagnostics? Because I got to add that to the invoice. I'm out $77.50. We'll do some math. How much does that represent in diagnostics? Maybe 0.2, 0.3 of an hour? My issue is this. We're not slowing down to examine. Are we catching everything? Now, let's also define diagnostics. Diagnostics is anything that involves interpretation or analyzation. So, test drives, whether before or after or both, that time has to be recorded and should be billed out at diagnostic time. I can assure you the average shop is missing 0.2 on almost every invoice because they don't capture it. When I don't capture it, I can't bill it accurately, and that affects my cost per billed hour.
Bob, that $77.50 short, is that margin?
No, that is net profit because I want to net 15% of my sales.
Netting 15%, I should have about $125 in the pocket.
$8.50 times 15% is $127.50.
Yeah, I see. There's a number. I got it. Okay. That's clear now. Thank you.
So it's net profit. Shops have got to learn these numbers of their business in more depth and become very comfortable with them. I still contend as we move forward, we're going to be spending more time analyzing the vehicle versus fix and repair.
You know, what's interesting about that 850 times 15, you're really beginning with the end in mind. You're really saying that I want this transaction to net me $127.50 net after I've paid everything and everybody and the parts and the labor and the heat and the light and the rent. That's 120. So it's a great way to look at what the gap is, especially at the end of the month when there's no money left or the accountant says you made 2% net operating income. And you say, okay, it paid for me to have fun to do my hobby. You know, you're breaking even. The objective, you know, one of the things that has been so profound in doing this show for 4 years is to get the successful shop owners to come on and say, yeah, my decision to do this for all the right reasons, but then I started to realize I got to put my kids through school. And I'm not making enough money to do that. And, you know, and I'd love to get out of this small house and into a little bit bigger one because the family's growing. And I can't do that either. And what am I doing? And so I think setting those personal goals helps people move and understanding financial models better.
Number one, name me every shop you know that went bankrupt for charging too much. Think about that. Most go out of business or bankrupt because they didn't charge correctly, because they were focused on price. Number two, when you retire, I guarantee you, your clients are not going to be writing you a monthly check to make sure you're looked after all right. Think about this too, is that as we move forward, not necessarily technicians are going to buy this business. Business people are going to buy this business and hire the competency they require, but they know how to run a business. If the business is not profitable, after paying out professional wages at every level, they're not going to invest in something to buy themselves a job. They're going to look at everything, right down even to return on investment, which here's another interesting fact, because we've done this in classes over and over, is that the objective is to have an ROI, return on investment, which is a very long formula to calculate. A lot of people in the industry don't understand how it is calculated. That's why I just say, have your accountant do it for you, because it involves balance sheet information and all this stuff. We should have an ROI of 35% as a minimum, because we're in a high-risk business. Unfortunately, I have found over my career, the average ROI is coming in between 7 and 9%. And we're not profitable. We're not paying ourselves professionally. Everybody is focused on price versus competency and productivity and building the right clientele. So how do I see this playing forward? This cost per billed hour is going to have to be such a critical state to understand in your business, because your labor rates are going to work off of this. You're going to have to learn how to move the business forward and control this by being more efficient. And if we're expecting to hire and retain the best people, we're going to have to pay them well. That's only common sense. When we're focused on price, how do you do that? Building the right clientele is important too. That's why I see the days of working on makes and models will start to squeeze and close out, and shops will have to learn how to specialize in a brand.
Yeah, but they could specialize per bay also, in my opinion.
Yes.
I mean, they could literally have some really top talent and have the Asian specialist, the Euro specialist.
As long as the facility's big enough too.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, but I think that's where also we're heading. We're heading to multi-shop owners that could have multiple. You know, listen, I've got a Euro shop, I have an Asian shop, I have a domestic shop. And so the domestic shop, the owner has a Lexus and they take it in and they ship it to the other shop to get repaired.
And each shop is going to have a different cost per build hour.
The whole pricing transparency thing just hit me when you said how critical and important it is to know cost per build hour, because the pressure on price parts margins, I think, are going to be a wild card someday.
Correct. Exactly. So it comes back to understanding the efficiency of your shop through productivity. And that productivity is going to affect your cost per build hour.
So, you know, efficiency, we could do an entire show on how to improve efficiencies. I mean, you know, the numbers are one thing, but then how to is so critical, right?
That's correct. That is exactly correct.
Very interesting, very exciting to see this, you know, knowing that there's formulas out there. How can someone work with you on helping figure this out?
I would love to do a class, even if it's a group of six or seven shops. If a person knows he can gather six or seven shops, contact me. I'd love to come in, do a day and a half session with you, and walk you through all this. It's just, this is very tight here, but to explain it carefully and why we have to go through this way, how is the industry unfolding, and then how do I implement it is a big key.
I think it's so cool to be able to have a Bob Greenwood cost per build hour class, you know, hands-on, you know, bring your computer, bring your P&Ls, and we're gonna roll up our sleeves, and we're going to help you reinvent your business.
I'd love to walk them through the 20 breakouts. They'll learn a lot about their business and what they've already got coming through the door and where the opportunities are, one step at a time.
This seems to be a trend, Bob, that, you know, where guys are getting together and saying, I need that training. I want that training. I've talked to my buds, you know, in the marketplace. I know six, seven guys. We're not competitors. Yeah, we are, but we're not. There's so much work out there for all of us. And if we're going to be successful and have an impact on our marketplace, be a player, we need to run a better business. So they're bringing in technician trainers. They're bringing in service writer trainers. And why shouldn't they be bringing in you know, a business consultant coach like you to work, you know, can have all the great technical training and service writer training, but if the business isn't profitable and making money.
It's a new dimension because everybody understands the technical development and why it's necessary. Business development has to be on the top table too.
I love it. It's business development. I mean, that's almost the summary of what we've just done here. Business development. Well, good stuff. Thank you. I know you cleared some of this stuff up for me. To me, I think the only way to really know it, sit down with your numbers, sit down with the spreadsheets, and get a master like you to help them through it and see what they're leaving on the table.
They can easily reach me. My email address is greenwood@aaec.ca, Edward Charlie.ca, or give me a call. I have a toll-free number, 1-800-267-5497. 1-800-267-5497. Be happy to help.
I'll put all that in the show notes page and, you know, a link to your site and the phone number. And thanks so much for coming in and really helping us start the dialogue on this cost per build hour analysis. I know I've been into a class or two of yours, not completely, but I've seen segments of it. And I never was so impressed to see the people in the class having like multiple aha moments.
It's fun.
Yeah, for you, that has to be so darn rewarding. Well, thank you so much to Bob Greenwood from the Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center. Thanks for your friendship and thanks for the lesson, man.
Thanks, Carm. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier Automotive Aftermarket podcast. Until next time.